The man behind trillions of dollars in economic stimulus is ready for your questions.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning. From American Public Media in New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. Some people like to call Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke the Wizard of Oz, as in the man behind the curtain, pulling the strings that make our economy what it is, while trying not to say too much about what he's doing. Well, today, all that changes for a moment. Ben Bernanke will be taking questions at the National Press Club. Marketplace's Scott Tong joins us live now from Washington with more. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Jeremy.
So why is the Wizard of Oz, Mr. Bernanke, going in front of the microphones today?
Well, he's done this kind of thing a couple times before. He did a PBS town hall meeting, he went on 60 Minutes, and he did speak at the press club in 2009. Back then, he explained that the Fed needs to be more transparent about its efforts to juice the economy. Alan Blinder is a former vice chairman at the Fed, and he says, like a lot of us, the Federal Reserve is misunderstood.
Part of it is the Fed's own fault. It hasn't explained itself sufficiently often, sufficiently fully, and sufficiently in clear, plain English.
So people want to know more about what's going on behind the scenes at the Fed. What are they going to be asking today, Scott?
Well, last time he was on Capitol Hill, and Mr. Bernanke was asked by members of Congress about the Fed buying billions in Treasury bonds, which critics say may stoke inflation. The jobs recovery is still slow. You should expect he'll be asked about that. 3 years ago, Bernanke showed with the press that he can deal with tough questions, and he showed he's got a funny bone. You know, one reporter asked him if steroid user Alex Rodriguez should get into the Hall of Fame. Bernanke stepped up to the mic and he said, "I like baseball."
Very good answer. All right. Marketplace's Scott Tong in Washington. Thanks.
Okay. You're welcome.
Well, yesterday, Senate Democrats blocked a Republican attempt to repeal the new health care law. But a report out today from the journal Health Affairs finds a new wrinkle in the law. Since your income will determine if you're qualified for Medicaid or subsidies to buy insurance through state exchanges, what happens when your income fluctuates? Here's Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer.
What will happen is people will ping-pong between Medicaid and the state insurance exchanges every time their income changes. The study included 20,000 people. It found half would experience income fluctuations that would change their eligibility repeatedly. Harvard physician Benjamin Summers co-authored the study.
The frequency of those changes may be so frustrating that an individual may just decide, I'm not going to keep doing this for what can be inconsistent coverage over time.
So they would remain uninsured. Summers has a solution: guarantee Medicaid or subsidized insurance for, say, a year, regardless of income changes. Georgetown health policy analyst Judy Fader has another idea. Let people's income fluctuate within a certain range.
If their income goes up by a certain percentage or dollar amount, that nobody's going to care, that's okay.
But these solutions might take new legislation. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed around the world right now. German stocks are up about 0.1%. MasterCard reports its quarterly earnings today. Analysts are going to be watching to see how the company is doing in the growing world of mobile payments. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow rose just 2 points to close at 12,041.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact Email Marketing, providing small businesses and nonprofits with personal coaches to help them succeed. ConstantContact.com. By Progressive Insurance, helping people shop for car insurance at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and Progressive.com. And by Yellowbook 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at Yellowbook360.com.
So German stocks are up about 0.1%, as I said a moment ago. That's according to the so-called DAX index, which tracks the goings-on at the Frankfurt Stock Exchange. Well, it turns out that exchange is in for major changes. Marketplace's David Brancaccio is tracking how the economy is evolving for our series Economy 4.0, and he filed this report from Frankfurt.
On the trading floor of the Frankfurt Stock Exchange, I see no yelling or wild gesticulating. It's the hushed intensity of a master control room with traders arranged in computer-lined bull rings. The dominant sound is this. Electronic tiles flip through rapidly changing stock prices on the scoreboards overhead. Financial journalist Bernard Uniman has an office across the courtyard from this trading floor.
German Stock Exchange decided that this is a good marketing instrument. You have more television stations on the gallery than you have really traders on the floor.
The main work of the Frankfurt Stock Exchange is really miles away in an even more space-age facility where we find Rainer Ries, a managing director at the German Exchange.
Today, the Frankfurt floor is predominantly connected to German banks and brokerages.
Ries is preparing for the big day in May when engineers here will flip a switch and much of Europe will get instant electronic access to the 10,000 stocks and other financial instruments that trade here.
All 250 members in 19 countries will be able to trade directly. So most banks and brokerages from throughout Europe will have a direct connection and can send orders to the Frankfurt Stock Exchange more easily.
Old way. Hi, Hans in Frankfurt. This is Javier in Madrid. A client wants Volkswagen stock. What's your price? The new way, Javier hits a button.
In the future, what will happen is actually that a Spanish bank can directly enter the trade, will immediately see the execution on their screen, and can electronically inform their customer in Spain.
Or Sweden, Italy, most of Europe electronically. Does this mean they'll shut down the trading floor where human beings have been part of stock trading since 1896? No, there will still be some humans on the floor who can intervene in the digital chain of events so things are orderly and the prices are right. Plus, they need something for those TV cameras. In Frankfurt, I'm David Brancaccio for Marketplace.
And finally, the city of Austin, Texas, is asking residents for help coming up with a new name for its Solid Waste Services Department to better reflect all the things the department does, things like recycling, street sweeping, and storm debris cleanup. Well, here are some of the ideas that have come in so far. The Department of Neat and Clean, Austin Area Clean and Green, the AACG, and my favorite, the Ministry of Filth. Send your ideas to me on Twitter at Jeremy Hobson. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Millions of workers in China are heading home for the Chinese New Year, but for the factories they work for, it could well be the long goodbye.
The challenge for us is really see how to foresee people operate left to hometown, whether they will be back or not.
I'm Bob Moon, Home Sweet Home, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.